Hope everybody's doing well this morning. Still all waiting for fall to fall. That's what TK say, waiting for it to fall somewhere. I think it's falling in all the wrong places, you ask me. Amen, guys. Goodness. It's good to have Bruce and Rhonda here.
Yes.
You know, I was like, man, that must be a sign from the Lord. They keep coming frequently, you know, so I don't know. You know, over there in Dallas, they're doing big things, and I love it. You know, Dallas, you know, one of their congregations kind of like they split up because they want to grow, and they're like, hey, we're going to divide it up, you know, and everything, and I don't know, maybe Bruce and Ronnie just kind of went a little too far to the city limits, you know. They say split, you know, but not that far. So, amen, guys. But it's always great to have them guys come in. So encouraging to see them here, to be with us. This morning, guys, we're going to talk about evolve. We want to evolve in our thinking. Evolve in our thinking. You know, because we can think some crazy things. And sometimes we just can get stuck in how we think and don't grow. You know, and then people look at you kind of weird like, you know, where are you at, man? You know, that was like 10 years ago. That was like 20 years ago. You know, time is moving forward. It's leaving you behind, you know. And we get stuck in our thought process. And even God's like, I am steady moving forward. Time is steady pushing forward. So in our thoughts, we have to evolve. Why do we need to evolve in our thinking? Because we need to grow. We need to grow not only to know more, but to be more than what we were yesterday. We need to grow. We need to evolve. You know, there is an old saying, maybe it's still around, that says the mind is a terrible thing to waste. It is just a terrible thing to waste. That means the mind is something precious and we need to take care of it. We need to nourish our mind. We need to feed our mind, but we need to feed our mind the right things. You don't want to feed it the wrong things. I remember Miss Charisse was out last week coming from therapy and we stopped at McAllister's and I don't know. I always get the salad. I get the, I get the garden fresh salad and I get the garden fresh turkey. Well, something wasn't right with something that day. And let's just say, man, I was just, we call it food poison, just sick. Just sick. And I thought they didn't give me something wrong in here. Either the avocado wasn't done or something wasn't right. I don't know. But you know, you're not feeding yourself the right things in your mind and mind can become very unstable and sick.
Yeah.
And if you know what it's like to be, you can have all kinds of sickness, but when you got food poison on the stomach, that just a pain. Just, oh my goodness. You're like, I just wanted to go away. And that is a true sickness that would stay with you almost 24 hours. That is nothing. I know that's right. But it's one north side. They usually do good, but, you know, sometimes you know, that food sickness just stays with you. But you know, the mind is a terrible thing to waste and we do not want to waste our mind. God wants us to evolve in our thinking when it comes to our relationship with Him. He needs us to evolve because He is constantly evolving. Your thoughts are always on the go. They are continuously looking for the next thing to grab onto, to process, and to add to your consciousness. Do you know that? Your thoughts are always trying to grab the next thing to add. I mean, it's like your mind's like a big bang. Just feed it in there. And it's always looking for something. But you know, we want to grab onto the right things. The thing that's going to help our thoughts to grow in the right direction, help us grow in the right way. But you know, you have to ask yourself, how will my thoughts evolve? That's a question you got to ask yourself every day. How will my thoughts evolve? What will be the foundation that I will build my thinking on? Your thought process, the way you think, has to have some type of core foundation that you're building it on, right, that is sprouting out from. You know, will my thinking evolve from my feelings? Maybe it evolved from my heart. But you know, Jeremiah 17:9 says, above all, the heart is deceitful. Who can understand it? It is beyond cure. That's just crazy. We have something in us that is deceitful, is beyond cure, they say. Who can understand it? It's just talking about the heart can be all kind of ways. But you know, God can change that heart if we trust in God. You know, but in order for your thoughts to evolve with God, you must know where you are at with God at this moment. Turn over to Isaiah 55. You know, in order for our thoughts to evolve with God and our thoughts to just grow and like, man, be connected with God, like, what's the right direction to go and how should I build my thought process? Man, you know, we got to figure out where we are at with God. You know, where am I in this relationship with God? In Isaiah 55, let me get there. Verse 8 and 9. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. He says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That is a powerful saying. We always like to think that God is thinking what I'm thinking. And God said, well, hold on. The things that you think about are not necessarily the things that I'm thinking about. But God said, if you want to evolve in your thinking, then your thought process has to get on the same way with my thought process. We are people that like for things to be catered to us and catered in what? Our direction. We just like that. But God said it doesn't work like that with our relationship. God said, if you're going to evolve, I need you to cater to me. I need your thoughts to be connected with my thoughts. Forget what you're thinking. Guess what? You need to think the things that I am thinking. God is higher than anything that we could think about. How is what God is thinking becomes what I should be thinking? Did you get it? How is what God is thinking should become what I should be thinking? I think about Colossians 3:2. You know, if we want our thoughts to be like God's thoughts, Colossians 3:2 puts the challenge up. We need to set our mind on things above. Where's your mind set at? He said, you need to set your mind on things above and not on earthly things. Why not on earthly things? If you look at the things that are going on earth, the majority of the thing has nothing to do with God. Our mind has nothing to do with it at all. You know, you have to set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Ask yourself, where is your mind at? What are the things that your mind meditates on? Think about that. What are the things your mind meditates on? How much time do you spend with God in prayer? What about spending time with God and just serving? What about spending time with God and sharing the gospel? What about spending time with God in His Word? What about just spending time with people who are pursuing the same things that you are pursuing? If you are after God, you need to spend time with people who also are what? Going after God.
That's right.
With everything they got. This is how you begin to align your thoughts with God's thoughts. This is how you begin to set your mind on things above. You know, Romans 8:5-6. And we're going to jump here a little bit. Romans 8:5-6 points some things out of the battle that we have. And it says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. Is that not a true statement?
Yes.
But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires.
Right.
The mind governed by the flesh is death. It says the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. That is powerful. That's powerful. Verse 7 says, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Wow. You know, one of the things about evolving in our mind, we have to make a conscious decision to say who we're going to allow to govern our mind. Will it be our flesh? Or will it be God? God says, our flesh, your flesh. He says, it's hostile toward Him. It shows hostility constantly toward God. You ever deal with somebody that's been hostile toward you? It can be subtle, or it can be really loud, but they're just hostile toward you. You know, resistant. You know, I think about my grandson. I don't want to say he's hostile toward me, but he resisted. So yesterday we're at the Pecan Festival. And you know, we got him, you know. God allows us to see His position from so many different angles. And I always think about a little baby, a little infant, who's not able to walk around and do a lot of things, you know, and everything. As the protector, the adult, your job is to make sure that he or she has a safe upbringing and make sure they don't get into stuff. So we're on this big pecan orchard, Okay? And it's like over 200 vendors. And what used to be grass courts are nothing but dirt and rocks out there because of the heavy traffic going through there. And so I got him in a stroller, you know, we're pushing and everything. And of course, what does a baby want to do after a while being in a stroller? They want to get out. Oh, this just looks like too, I want to get out. And they look at you, he looks at you with them eyes like, and he goes, and they like, you know, I want to get out. Can I get free? You're thinking like, okay, I don't know, you know, but they keep at here and so fast. I say, look, I'll let you out, but we're going to do the right thing. Okay. So, you know, first I take him out, but I hold him a little bit like, okay, I'm going to hold him, say, you do good. Maybe if he cut him a little bit, that ain't good enough. I'm trying to get to the ground. I'm trying to get to the ground. This is where everything's at. So put him on the ground, hold his hand, and what's the first thing most babies want to do?
Run.
What's the second thing they want to do?
Get dirty.
Away from you.
Get dirty. That's right. We even get dirty. He wants to run, and he sees all this stuff in the dirt. I'm like, there's a bunch of rocks and then sticks, and he's like, he just wants to go. And I'm like, no, dude, we're not doing this. We're not doing this. And so I'm having to pick him up. And if you ever have a baby who's resistant to you, been hostile, you're trying to pull one way, what are they doing?
Pulling the other.
And then it's like their body goes dead limp. I'm trying to hold a stroller, and I'm trying to get him, and he's just swinging everywhere, and I'm like, man, come on, we're not doing this. And, he just, and then they throw their head back, and I'm like, we're not doing this. So finally, after frustrating the fact, I said, all right, let me just grab pick him up again. I said, all right, I got you. And the whole day was kind of like that. Because it's something that's like, well, let's give him another chance. Maybe he'll be right again. Shame on me. We go through the same process over and over. The same fight over and over. I thought, well, I'm tired. Can I get in the stroller? That's where I'm at. I'm like, this little boy here. You know, he just in his playful way. I just want to go lay and play. No, we're not. By the time we got done, you know, he was dusty. Had drink, everything over here. I said, son, look, and my daughter and Teresa are like, you're not putting no clothes on. I said, no, he got a shirt. I changed his pants. He can get in the car seat. Be good. He ran home like that. I take care when I get home. I'm done. But you know, it just, I think about how we are. We're like that with God. You know, God says, when we're in our flesh, we tend to be hostile toward God. Mm-hmm. We show hostility. We're wanting to pull away and do everything we want to do. God says, that's the wrong way to think. That's the wrong way to be. God says in our thought process, we need to evolve to be more of what we should be.
Right.
And that is not people entertaining the flesh. But you know us, we like to have our way. We like to do what we want to do. But let's talk about when we refuse to connect with God or when we refuse to evolve. Let's talk about that a little bit. Let me go over to 2 Timothy 4. Let's talk about what happens when we refuse. You know, sometimes we refuse and don't want to be what God is calling us to be. Some of us don't want to go alone.
Right.
I got to take as many as I can take with me. Ain't that crazy? God is trying to use the gospel and the word to win people over to peace and happiness where there is no more trouble, where there's, you know, not just entangled in a lot of stuff. And then we get in ourselves, we're like, I don't care. I'm going to go and I want people, I want to persuade people. But you know, a lot of times when we want to go, we want to find people who agree with us. We just do that. We just do that. 2 Timothy 4 verse 2. Verse 3. Verse 3 says, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Mm-hmm. Wow, it says, they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myth. Mm-hmm. You know, when we don't want to evolve, we want to find people who agree with us and how I feel and what I think should be the way it should be. I've heard what God had to say. I've heard what God is, basically I've seen what God has shown me how I should think, but I don't like it. So I'm going to go find me a group of people who agree with me and how I feel, what I feel it should be. And it's easy to find those people, ain't it? You know, a lot of times when you find those people, you'll find out them people don't know the Bible. Them people don't know God. They'll tell you I know church. I like church. I go to church. But you know what? You want to put those people to the test. They say, well, what does God say about being pure? What does God say about being righteous? What does God say about being compassionate, loving him. What does God say about keeping myself clean? Huh? What does God say about all that? You find out they can't show you nothing in the Bible. They'll show you some good feel, good scriptures. Or they tell you, well, my mama's a preacher. My grandma's a preacher. My dad's a preacher. And God said, it has nothing to do with you and I.
That's right.
I need you to evolve. I remember when the Pharisees came out, John the Baptist was preaching out there in the desert. Or they say the wilderness. And the Pharisees came out and they wanted to know, of whose authority do you have the right to talk like this? And they kept telling him, we are the descendants of Abraham. We know who Abraham is, right? The father of faith. And that example, God said, I don't care who you descended of. It doesn't matter. God said, we're talking about how are you living your life now? That's what God wants to know. You know, if your mom or dad, a great uncle, somebody's a preacher, amen, God bless them. But you know what? You're called to evolve in your thinking to be more like God. But when you refuse to, you will go find your crowd of people to agree with you. They say, hey, you know, you're right. You're right. You keep doing all that bad stuff. You keep doing that wrong stuff. And they're not going to say bad or wrong. They're going to say, if that's what makes you feel good, you keep doing that. You do you. That's what they're going to do. When you do not want to evolve, you will find people to scratch your itching ear. What can happen with that? What kind of people are like that? 1 Timothy, we just read over 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy 4. There's a lot to be said. 1 Timothy 4. Go from 2 to 1 Timothy. And it says in verse 1, 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 says, the Spirit clearly says that in latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Well, what do these demons look like? What do they say? It says, such teachings come through hypocritical liars. Wow. Whose conscience have been seared as with a hot iron. We just want to stop right there. Wow. Ever been burned by an iron? Ever been burned, period. That burned hurt. Old folks, they put butter on it. I don't know what butter did. I don't think butter was just making it for me to put something else cook on. You know what I'm saying? Butter just, you know, they put butter on it. It hurts when it burns. And if you get a good burn, it blister up. Oh, that's even worse. Uh-huh. You know, because then the blister's got a bust and everything in the blister's like burning too. Just painful. But God says, guess what? He says, man, when you allow yourself to just be misled, when you abandon the faith, he says it's because of people who are hypocritical liars, who are teaching you things that are wrong. And he says, your mind has been seared, has burnt with an iron. I've burnt clothes before, and burnt stains don't come out. I don't care how much, I don't care what you try to do. If you burn a piece of fabric, it's there. It ain't good for nothing but the trash.
That's true.
Do not allow people to persuade you or to steer you away from God, from the gospel. Do not allow people to stop you from evolving in your thought process. God wants you to grow. God wants you to grow. God wants you to have victory. God wants you to win. How do we grow? Stand right in the Gospel of Timothy. Flip right over to 4:16. 1 Timothy 4:16, how do we grow? I love to be diligent in a lot of matters, giving yourself holy to them. Verse 16 says, watch your life and doctrine closely, persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. You know, to evolve in your thinking, guess what? You got to watch your life, and you got to watch what it is that you believe. You've got to, as I call it, KYB, know your Bible. You've got to know your Bible if you're going to evolve in your thinking. And if you know your Bible, you will evolve in your thinking. Guess what? You will save both you and the people that you talk to from death.
You will.
God desires for you to grow. God wants to see you evolve. The question is, do you want to evolve? Do you want to change? Do you want to be everything that God wants you to be? I'm going to read a couple of scriptures here in closing. 2 Peter 1:5-8. It says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection. into mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. God desires for you to grow. He wants to see you evolve. And therefore, God challenges you that, guess what? You need to make every effort to increase in a lot of things in your life. God don't want you to be dumb. God don't want you to be ignorant. God does not want you to be stupid.
That's right.
I'm going to say this again. God has no desire in you being dumb, ignorant, nor stupid of the truth. God wants you to know it front to back, in between the lines, periods, and dots. God wants you to know it through and through because he wants you to evolve. That's what God said. You need to have some knowledge in there. He talks about goodness and perseverance, but he wants you to grow in the knowledge of Jesus. And the only way you're going to evolve in your thinking process in your relationship with God is get in there. Get in there. Seek to be under, seek to understand. And if you don't know, God puts people in your life to teach.
That's right.
Be open to being taught. Be open to learning. Be open to what God has to say through others who are trying to teach you. Colossians 1:9-10 says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. It says, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. God wants you to evolve. He just wants you to grow up. There's work to be done. There's fruit to be bared. Guess what? There's people to be served. But in all this, this is part of God's plan for your life, his plan and process for your life. He wants you to grow. God does not want you to stay where you are. God wants you to grow. Final scripture, Ephesians 4:20. And there were just so many, man. It was like, God, there's so many scriptures about this growing and how God's excited about us growing and how God's like, we need to have an urgency about growing. I was like, man, so many, but I picked a few out. And it says, Ephesians 4:20, it says, that, however, is not the way of life you learn. It says, when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, he says, you were taught with regard to your formal way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. God desires for you to grow, to evolve. Some people like to say to have a paradigm shift. God desires for your mind to have a new attitude. God does not want your desires to corrupt you, nor deceive you, nor to keep you stuck in your past. But God desires you to be new every day. Every day. You know, I think about my grandson one more time, that little boy so busy and so cute. And I think about the joy of growth. His mom and other grandparents do a great job with him. They do a great job. And the one thing about that, I look at how they helping him to grow, is that he is so tremendously loved. When we backed up and was waiting for the other grandfather to come, and so I took him out of his car seat, got him cleaned up, changed, put him back in, and I say, I know what you're gonna do. Of course, he crawls over the middle of the console board and goes sits in Sharice's lap while we're waiting. That's what his thing, him and Sharice, like two peas in a pie. He'll crawl, he'll sit in her lap, he sits and smiles. And so the other grandpa shows up, and he shows up with his sister, and his sister comes over, and she's 5 or 6, she comes over, and she looks in through the passenger driver's seat. He sees her, he's like, ah, he's all like happy, like, he's like, hey, I'm like, dude, you're like a 1 to 3 months, you know the word hey. He's like, hey, he's waving. And so, you know, I get him, and we're gonna go ahead and see this other grandpa, and it's amazing. Because when whoever he sees, like if he sees them and he knows he's going with them, he's quick to tell us, okay, bye. You know, just bye. We're done. It's been nice hanging with you guys, but bye. But we go in the house and I'm talking to the other grandfather. He's trying to get settled and I watch Bryson and his sister and she has a toy and I watched him and he's just so excited. He's just so excited to be with her. And he's just playing and she is so excited to be with her little brother. And they're just playing with this new toy. They're taking it apart on the kitchen floor and they're looking. And I look at this woman and I'm like, they are really loving this young man. They are loving him. They are helping him to grow in love. He loves atmosphere. He's always smiling. He's always happy. He doesn't matter where he's at. He's just full of love. And he's like, what are we doing? Let's have fun. You know, God loves us the same way. Mm-hmm. God wants us to be happy the same way. God wants us to know that we are loved. He wants to know that he wants to create an environment in his kingdom where we're happy to see one another, where we're happy to sit down and play and commune with each other, where it's like, this is fun, and we're telling the world, bye, bye world, bye, bye old desires, bye old flesh. I'm going to a happier place. I'm going to where I have the opportunity to evolve and grow in my thinking process.
That's right.
I'm going to where I'm going with other people who have the same desire and same urgency to want to grow and evolve in their thought process. There, I can grow to be like God. What is your mindset today? And where do you want your mindset to be tomorrow?
Come on.
That's the question you gotta ask yourself. What is my mindset today? And where do I want it to be tomorrow? Do I want my mindset to be like it was, craving the things of this earth, things and desires of my flesh? Or do I want my mindset to be on the things of the Lord? Do I want my mindset to be set on things above where God is at? And do I want to be around the people who fight to set their mind on things above? Because when I'm with them, there is joy, there is happiness, and nothing else matters in this world except we are together and we both are evolving in our relationship with God. God is challenging us not to be hostile toward him, meaning not to pull away. Stop pulling away from God. God says, just stop pulling away. God is challenging us to have a surrendered heart, to be excited about submitting to the will of God and the way he has designed for us to live. God is challenging us to let go of the things of the past that hinder us, that are stumbling blocks, that are tripping us on the way. God is challenging you and I to evolve in our thought process, to evolve in how we think, to draw closer to him, to love his mission, to love his kingdom,
yes,
and to love others. Let's evolve, let's evolve, let's evolve. Amen?
Amen.
That's so much.